In 1992, a man named Tom, who has a brother who is a police officer, was brutally stabbed to death ng isang mama na part ng isang sindikato sa Maynila. This man stabbed him several times and left him for dead. At yung kapatid ni Tom, na police, was soaking in his blood. Ang kapatid ni Tom ay 38 years old pa lang nung siya'y kinuha na ng Panginoon. At meron siyang naiwanan na anim na anak na bata. Sinikap ni Tom at ang kanyang pamilya hanapin ang mga responsable sa krimen na ito. Pero their efforts to get justice resulted to nothing. Until 4 months later, by God's providence, the murderer was captured and was in prison, which is very interesting, for a crime na hindi ho related sa pagpaslang ng kanyang kapatid. So nakulong siya for another case. Meron siya, nalaman ito ni Tom at ng kanyang mga pamilya, at meron po siyang mga kilalang pulis. At isa sa mga kaibigan niyang pulis ay inimbitahan po siyang samahan, dalhin si Tom sa kamkrami para harapin ang pumatay ng kanyang kapatid. Kung ikaw si Tom, anong unang lalabas sa bibig mo? Kung ikaw ay si Tom, anong unang gagawin mo? Kung ikaw si Tom, maghihiganti ka ba? Papatayin mo ba siya? O patatawarin mo ba siya? We are on our third and final week on our sermon series in the book of Philemon. This is the shortest letter na sinulat ni Apostle Paul sa loob ng bilangguan ng Rome. This letter calls Philemon to forgive and be reconciled sa kanyang slave na ang pangalan ay Onesimus. Onesimus has wronged him and ran away from him. This is a letter that is focused on forgiveness and reconciliation. For the past weeks, we have witnessed how the power of the gospel reconciles people to God and reconciles people to one another. The gospel transforms lives, and today we will see how the gospel reconciles relationships. My prayer as we study this passage is that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes and see wonderful things about the gospel of Jesus Christ and its power to reconcile sinners to God and its power to transform hearts that causes people to reconcile. May God provide us hearts that would love and forgive those who have sinned against us, and humble hearts as well to seek forgiveness and reconciliation. The main point of our passage this morning is this: a reconciled relationship with God reconciles relationships with others. A reconciled relationship with God reconciles relationships with others. Passage is divided by 3 points. Number one, receive, verses 17 to 20. Number two, respond, 21 to 22. And number three, remember, verses 23 to 24. Three R's so that we could remember, and hopefully that the message that God has given us this morning would stick to our hearts and that we would live it in our lives. Number one, receive. Verse 17, so if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. Sinimulan ni Paul ang conjunction na so. Sa ibang translation, it's therefore. Which means sa lahat ng mga pleadings na ginawa niya sa previous verses, ito na po yung conclusion. He was building his argument to give this one important request. At ito ang pinaka-imperative at punto ng letter ni Paul kay Philemon. At ano po yung imperative na ito? Ano yung request na ito? It is to receive him. Receive yung nagkasala sa iyong si Onesimus. Receive means to accept, welcome yung ibang translation. Welcome, tanggapin mo siya, patawarin mo na siya. That is the plea. Patawarin mo na at tanggapin mo na siya sa buhay mo. Alam ni Paul na ang hinihiling niya kay Philemon at alam din niya na mahirap itong request na ito. Alam niya anong hinihingi niya. Dahil hinihiling ni Paul na patawarin at tanggapin niya ang taong nanloko sa kanya. Na patawarin at tanggapin ang taong nagtraidor sa kanya. Ang taong naninakawan siya. Ang taong na naglubog marahil sa kanya ng utang, sa utang. Ang taong na nagdulot ng napakadaming pahihinakit sa kanyang buhay na marahil itong problema na ito hindi pa nariresolbahan. Itong taong na ito na kung saan inabandon na siya. Hindi compassion, marahil ang nararamdaman ni Philemon sa kanya, kay Onesimus. Siguro galit, puot, paghihiganti marahil ang kanyang nasa puso. Remember, ang nagdala ng sulat na ito kay Philemon ay si Tychicus at si Onesimus. So, makita yan sa Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 hanggang 9, yung story na yon. Now, we do not know, kasi wala pong nasusulat, kung nasa harapan ba niya si Onesimus nung binubuksan yung letter na yan at binabasa personally or sa church. No, maaaring siguro wala si Onesimus doon, marahil si Tychicus pa lang ang nagbigay ng letter na yon. We do not know. Pero siguro nung habang binabasa yung letter na yun, yung antas ng kanyang emosyon, lalo na sa bahaging ito, patawarin mo na, tanggapin mo na. Siguro ang bigat po nun sa kanya. Remember, let me back up a little bit. Now, Paul appeals dito sa verse 17 by calling him partner. Partner. Sa original na language, it means koinonia. Now, ito ang pangalawang beses na ginamit po niya yung term na ito, which is ginamit niya nito sa verse 6 na kung saan ibig sabihin ay share or sharing or to share. So, koinonia basically means participation, fellowship, or sharing. Now, bakit ito ang ginamit na term ni Paul? Because Paul is reminding Philemon of their shared fellowship in faith, shared fellowship in Christ, na sila ngayon ay magkapatid na sa Panginoon, na sila na ngayon ay brothers in Christ. At gaya ng pagtanggap ni Philemon kay Paul as a brother in Christ, Philemon should also receive all brothers and sisters in Christ. At kasama po dito si Onesimus. In short, ang sinasabi po ni Paul, Philemon, kung tunay ka talagang Kristiyano, kailangan mo na mapatawad at tanggapin si Onesimus dahil kapatid mo siya sa Panginoon. Dahil hindi na siya naiba sa atin. Dahil siya'y pamilya na. Mga kaibigan, marahil may mga taong pumapasok sa isipan mo ngayon na malaki ang pagkakasala sa iyo. Siguro it's been happening for the past weeks nung nagsimula po tayo ng ating sermon series at hanggang ngayon ay nahihirapan pa rin tayong magpatawad. Maaring sila yung mga kamag-anak mo, mga kaibigan, kasamahan sa trabaho, kasamahan sa gawain, mahal mo sa buhay, o maaring kapatid mo sa Panginoon, a brother or a sister in Christ. Anong damdamin ang nararamdaman mo sa puso mo sa kanila? Galit ba? Puot? Paghihiganti? O baka naman nasa stage ka na ng pagmamanhid? Ano ang damdamin ang nararamdaman mo? Paano mo haharapin ang mga tao na ito na nagkasala sa iyo kapag kayo ay nagkita ng hindi sinasadya. Sa parking, sa food court, o baka nagmamadali kayo sa metro, sabay pa kayo mismo sa entrada. At saka kamadali nyo ng null card, pareho pang walang laman, hindi pa kayo nakadaan pareho. Ano nararamdaman nyo? Paano mo sila haharapin? Paano mo sila haharapin kapag sila'y humihingi ng tawad sa iyo? As Paul calls Philemon to forgive, friends, God also calls you and I to forgive. It's not a suggestion. It should be our nature to forgive. Because it is. Because we have been recipients of that forgiveness. Pero pastor, hindi mo alam ang ginawa ng tao na to sa akin. Hindi mo naunawaan. Malaki ang epekto nangyari sa aming pamilya, sa aming negosyo, sa aming pangalan. Ibang klase yung tao na yun, pastor. Actually, pastor, hindi ko. Actually, sila mapapatawad. Alam mo, kung meron man makakaunawa sa inyo, si Paul. Because Paul understands that forgiveness is costly. Forgiveness is costly, and here's how, in the context ni Philemon. As mentioned from our previous sermon, hindi natin alam ang ginawa ni Onesimus. Hindi tayo nakakatiyak. Maring, pero pwede tayo magkaroon ng idea kung ano kanyang nagawa. Maring nagnakaw siya ng pera o nagkaroon ng mishandling ng funds. It was so serious and so it caused Onesimus such fear na tinakasan lang niya, imbis na harapin na lang niya si Philemon. Ganun ho kalaki ang nangyari. Whatever that was, it was illegal. He knows he'll get in trouble for it. Kaya tinakbuhan na lang niya, mas mabilis na lang yon. Now, kailangan po natin unawain, sa panahon ni Paul, legal po ang magkaroon ng alipin. Legal po ang magkaroon ng slave. Ang ancient Rome, slavery ay malapit sa sistema ng employment sa panahon natin ngayon. That's how they take labor. Ang mga slaves ay pagmamay-ari ng kanilang mga masters. At may karapatan ng mga masters gawin ang gusto nila, gawin sa mga slaves nila, ayon sa kanilang kagustuhan at anuman mga bagay na magbe-benefit para sa kanila. Kapag ang isang slave ay nagnakaw o nakagawa ho ng krimen laban sa kanyang amo, siya ay papatawa ng kaparusahan na pwede pong humantong sa kamatayan. Ganun po. Si Onesimus ay isang Roman slave. Kaya ang request ni Paul ay unusual para kay Philemon o kahit sa mga slave masters na madinig itong request. Walang slave master ang tatanggap sa kanyang runaway slave na hindi papatawa ng mabigat na kaparusahan. At mas lalong walang slave master na tatanggap kay Onesimus muli na kung saan tinakasan siya para pagkalooban lamang ng kalayaan. Walang gagawa na slave master na sa katinuan. So this is an unusual request. At kung gagawin niya ito, kung gagawin man, ito ang situation ni Philemon, kung gagawin niya man ito, hindi matutuwa po ang business community sa lugar niya. Hindi sila matutuwa kasi nga sa mga slave owners, pag nakita po nila na gano'n ang ginawa ni Philemon na he just let him slide o pinatawad na lang at ngayon kasama na niya, magiging hindi magandang halimbawa ito sa ibang mga slaves at pwede magsama-sama yon para mag-revolt sa kanilang mga amo. So ultimo si Philemon, ang kanyang pangalan ay pwede hong masira sa ibang mga kasamahan niya. Ito kagandaan po dito, alam ni Paul ang galawan na ganito. Alam ni Paul ang kalakaran. Nauunawaan ni Paul na forgiveness and reconciliation is costly. That's why he was prepared to pay the price for forgiveness ni Onesimus. Talaga pastor, eh, nandiyan sa Bible, sa verse 18 and 19. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it to say nothing of your owing me, even your own life. Kadalasan, Paul hires a scribe para magsulat ng kanyang mga letters. Pero in writing this short personal letter ni Paul, si Paul mismo na nagsulat. Hindi na siya umarkila ng scribe o inutusan yung mga kasama niyang manggagawa. This is not just for personal reasons. Ginawa niya ito because this is a formal legal action. And he is formally assuming the debt mismo ni Onesimus. Kaya ho niya ginawa ito. Ang sinasabi ni Paul dito ay, he is willing to bear the cost of Onesimus' forgiveness. Kung ano man ang nagawa niyang pagkakamali, kung ano man ang pagkakautang niya, pera, lo, sa akin mo ibaling yan, bigay mo sa akin yan. Ako ang bahala dyan. Yun ang sinasabi ni Paul. There is always a cost to forgiveness. Kapag may pagkakautang, mayroon at mayroon dapat magbayad. Ang magbabayad either ay yung mismong nangutang o mismo yung inutangan. Yung inutangan mismo must bear the cost. Paul is willing to pay the cost of forgiveness para to make forgiveness and reconciliation possible. He's like in a way saying, receive, welcome, tanggapin si Onesimus in your house and give me his debt and I'll pay the penalty for Onesimus' crime or sins. Ako magbabayad ng pagkakasala niya. Paul's act of love and compassion kay Onesimus is not natural. It is supernatural. Kasi it points to a much greater act of love and compassion na na-experience ni Paul. You see, friends, all of us have sinned and rebelled to a much greater master. And he is God. God created us in his image and likeness and were called to serve him alone by displaying his glory to the watching world, displaying his character, his rule, so that God gets the glory. We are called only to serve and worship the ultimate master, God. Ang problema, we lived our lives to serve only one master. Another master, a different master. At ang pangalan ng master na yon ay ako. We love to serve this master. We care less about what God wants for our lives, but we care more about what we want for our lives. Ang tawag po dyan ay rebellion. Ang tawag po dyan ay kasalanan. At bilang kaparusahan, anong ipapataw sa atin ang ating greater master? Roma 6:3, sapagkat kamatayan ng kabayaran ng kasalanan. Yan po ang ipapataw na kaparusahan sa atin ng isang banal na Diyos. Ang banal na Diyos ay paparusahan tayo ng eternal na kamatayan. Bakit ganun, Pastor? Ba't ganun katindi? Bakit eternal ang kaparusahan? Ito po ang dahilan. Dahil tayo ay nakagawa ng krimen laban sa isang eternal na Diyos. Ngunit, may pag-asa. Ngunit, may pag-asa na ang kaaway natin na Diyos ay maging kaibigan. At I will be reading you a series of Bible verses to speak into your lives. Psalm 103 verse 10. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve or repaid us according to our iniquities. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you see the great exchange na ginawa ng Panginoon Hesus Kristo sa atin? On the cross, Jesus took the penalty of our sins. He received the full wrath of God in our place, died on that cross, was buried, and on the third day has risen from the grave. That is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The debt of our sins is laid on Jesus. And Jesus' righteousness, according to sa sinabi ni Brother Carlos, was credited to our account. Another word is imputed to us. Imputed righteousness. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14. For he forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Dapat tayo ang pinarusahan ng isang banal na Diyos. Pero Christ took it upon himself to die for us. At sino man ang sumampalataya sa kanya, get this, will be welcomed, will be received sa eternal na kaharian ng Diyos. Mga kaibigan, kung wala tayong kasiguraduhan na may kapayapaan tayo sa ating banal na Diyos, it is God's grace na nandito ka ngayon hearing this gospel message. The invitation is to receive. Repent from your sins. Place your faith in Christ's finished work on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, for reconciliation, for cleansing of our sins. Receive the gift of salvation. According nga kay Martin Luther, we are all God's Onesimus. Jesus paid and we all received. Friends, Jesus made forgiveness possible. Jesus made forgiveness possible for us. Possible to be forgiven by God the Father and possible to be forgiven by one another. Pastor, ilang beses ko, ito yung controversial na tanong. Pastor, ilang beses ko ba dapat siyang patawarin? Yun lang, Pastor, ilang beses ko ba dapat patawarin itong taong ito? Kung ganun po ang tono nyo, I feel your frustration. Okay? Well, hindi importante ang sasabihin ko. Importante ko ang sasabihin ni Jesus. Buksan po natin ating Biblia sa Matthew chapter 18. Nagbabasahin po natin to. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 hanggang 35. Sabi ko sa Matthew 18, verse 21 to 22 muna ang babasahin ko. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Sa Judaism, ang paniwala na kapag pinatawad mo ang isang taong nagkasala sa iyo ng tatlong beses, ay lumalabas na ikaw isang mapagpatawad na tao. So nung tinanong po ni Peter ito, dinagdagan po niya ng doble at higit para ang dating niya ay mapagpatawad. Pero ang sagot sa kanya ni Jesus, hindi seven times, 77 times. Now alam ko iniisip ninyo, Pastor, kung bibilangin ko lahat ng ginawa ng tao to sa akin, mahigit 1,000, paano ba yun? Nalagpasan ko na yung 77 times. Paano po yan, Pastor? Pinatawad ko ba, papatawarin ko ba itong tao na ito? So bago tayo magbilangan kung ilan ang nagawa ng mga tao na ito ng pagkakasala sa atin, tingnan po natin kung ano yung ang point na sasabi ni Jesus. Kasi after na sinabi ni Jesus to may parable. So babasahin ko po sa inyo yung parabola na ito. Sa verses 23 hanggang 35. Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay his master, ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So I tried to do some research. Halaga po niyan ay billions of dollars. Okay, sa panahon natin. Verse 26. So the servant fell on his knees, implored him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay that you owe me." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what he had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Anong konteksto po nito? Ang konteksto po nito ay ilang beses dapat magpatawad ng kasalanan. Yun po ang konteksto. Anong pinupunto ng ating Panginoon Jesus dito? Na ang tunay na pinatawad, ang tunay na nilinis at niligtas ng Panginoon Hesukristo sa kanyang kasalanan ay hindi nagbibilang kung ilang beses dapat magpatawad. Forgiveness, according sa isang pastor, is an act of compassion and love expressed when we are sinned against. Jesus mentioned a parable na ang ability natin mag-forgive sa mga nagkasala sa atin ay nakabase sa greater forgiveness that we have received from God. Since God forgave us our debt, we must be willing to forgive others. Lahat ng mga kasalanan na gawa natin, binayaran ng Panginoon. Pinatawad ng Panginoon. Isipin mo, every evil thought na nasa isip mo, simula kanina pagpunta mo rito hanggang ngayon sa nakaupo ka, tinitignan at pinakikigan ang sermon na ito, bayad sa mga nanampalataya kay Kristo. Lahat ng mga ginawa at sinabi natin, paid in full. Telestai yung language na ginamit. Paid. Nabanggit din ni Jesus sa parable na kawalan ng willingness magpatawad sa kapatiran o sa ibang tao ay patunay na hindi pa natin natitikman o nararanasan ang mercy and grace ng Panginoon sa buhay natin. Kung nahihirapan tayo ika magpatawad, baka hindi nyo pa natitikman ang tamis ng kapatawaran ng Panginoon sa iyong kasalanan. Mga kaibigan, i-evaluate nating mabuti ang puso natin sa willingness natin to forgive others. If sinasabi nating hindi ko siya mapapatawad, kabahan po tayo. Now, there could be legitimate reasons kung bakit. It would be a different case if this is an ongoing abuse na ginagawa sa inyo. If that is the case, then please approach the elders. We would love to give you counsel patungkol po dyan. If you have tasted the mercy and grace of God through Christ, then it's inevitable not even to think about forgiveness and reconciliation if God really transformed your life. And as I say this, probably parang dinudurog marahil ang puso ninyo dahil sa mga taong nagkasala sa inyo. Ilang taon na po ba yan na pinanghahawakan yung puot at galit na yan? Philemon, verse 20 says, "Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ." Ano ibig sabihin ni Paul dito? As you can see, binalik ni Paul kay Philemon ang mga nadidinig niya about him sa verse 7. Di ba, inaral po natin yun sa verse 7? He's saying, "I heard you have been refreshing the hearts of the saints ng taga-Colossae. Praise God, Philemon. Tuloy mo yan. Now, Philemon, refresh my heart. Refresh my heart. Nagawa mo yan sa mga kapatid. Praise God. Gawin mo sa akin yan. Gusto ko yan." Paano, Paul? Receive Onesimus. Patawarin mo na. What will bring encouragement kay Paul is when he sees Philemon and Onesimus reconciled. Kapag sinabi ni Philemon sa kanya, pinapatawad na kita. How many of our loved ones long to hear that from us? How many? Bakit natin ito pinagkakait sa kanila? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, binasa rin ni Brother Carlos to kanina and prayed for it. "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." Nakita niyo yung basis ng ating kapatawaran? Hindi dahil sa kamag-anak mo naman yan eh. Sige na, magkakapatid naman tayo. Sige na, parang hindi naman tayo isang pamilya. Yes, okay yan. You're talking about earthly things. Pero ito ang basihan ng ating pagpapatawad sa iba. This is the basis because Christ forgave you. How dare us if we have not extended that grace and mercy and forgiveness to others, if we are sweet, receiving that sweet forgiveness from God. There's a disconnect po sa buhay mo. There's a disconnect sa iyong pananampalataya. In his book, which is I quoted a couple of weeks ago, The Peacemaker, Ken Sandy tells us, if we are to forgive as the Lord forgives us, we must release the person, get that, release the person who has wronged us from the penalty of being separated from us. We must not hold wrongs against others, not think about the wrongs, and not punish others for them. Friends, stop punishing them by your silent treatments, by your scene ticks. So WhatsApp. Sam Sandy gave four biblical promises na dapat po natin gawin bilang mananampalataya. And I'll go real quick on this one. Number one, I will not dwell on this incident. I will not dwell on this incident. In short, hindi ko na pagbubulay-bulayan yung mga nang ginawa mo sa akin. Kasi magaling ko tayo dyan, pag wala tayong magawa, pag-iisipan natin ng ibang tao at ang ginawa nila sa atin. And from there, at the end of the day, ako ang biktima rito. O marahil totoo naman. Pero wag mo nang pagbulay-bulayan. Ano ibig sabihin pagbulay-bulayan? Wag mo nang i-ponder. Huwag mo na pag-isipan. Don't dwell on that incident. And it's sad, you know? And I talk to many people, and I talk to people when they share their grievances about other people, paulit-ulit na lang nila sinasabi. Tuwing nagkikita kami, yun palagi ang sinasabi. Akala niya hindi pa niya ako nakikwento sa ikalimang beses. Kaya ito, Pastor, baka hindi mo pa alam to, ikasampu na po yan. Sinabi mo sa akin yan kanina. Bakit? Kasi hindi mo ba nakakatakot ang disposisyon ng puso natin pag ganun? Ibig sabihin, there's bitterness na sa puso natin kahit tama ka. Kahit sila yung gumawa nun sa iyo. So I will not dwell on this incident. Mahirap kapag nire-rehearse natin lagi ang mga nagawang mali sa atin. E kung igawin sa atin ng Panginoon yan, alam mo, babawiin ko na lang yung pagpatawad ko sa iyo. At ito yung mga ginawa. Actually, mangyayari po yan one day. Books will be opened and all that we have done will be rehearsed, so to speak. And those na walang blood ni Jesus Christ will be judged. If you are a recipient of God's forgiveness and mercy, it should show sa life mo and how you're treating people na nagkasala sa iyo. Second, I will not bring up this incident again and use it against you. Tama yung pastor. Lakasan mo, pastor. Hindi, nakasulat na po. Yeah. Tama yung pastor. Buti na lang, nandito si... Kahit nandun nakaupo sa dulo, tama dyan, kabene. Tutuloy ko pa ba? Hindi ko na uungkitin ang mga nakaraan. Huwag mo na yung uungkitin. Okay? So, ang problem po sa atin, we meditate sa mga nagawang mali sa atin, and what do? We weaponize it. We use it as a weapon. Naalala mo yung ginawa mo sa akin? Sige, sige, sige. Magsalita ka pa dyan. Naalala mo yun? O, di ba? Ako? Ako? Ako pa yung... And then dadagdagan mo yun. Baka ikaw. O kaya naman, wala naman pag-aaway na nangyari. Baka ano nga, huwag mo kalimutan na yung inutos ko sa'yo, kagaya ng gawa mo sa akin. I always sit with couples and hear this, weaponizing yung mga mistakes ng bawat isa, attacking them. Hindi sila ang kaaway mo, mga kaibigan. Hindi asawa mo ang kaaway mo. Okay? Don't weaponize it. Forgive as the Lord forgave. Third, I will not talk to others about this incident. Okay? Sakit natin yan. Imbis na diretso yun yung tao nakasakit sa atin, anong gagawin natin? Ito lang naman prayer requests. Di ba? We spiritualize our sinful language. Ito gusto ko lang naman ipag-pray. Ano? Ito, alam mo bang ginawa sa akin? And then we try to get sympathizers. Mga tao nakakampi sa atin, we demonize the person. And from there, pagdaan ng tao na yung lahat ng tao. Siya ba yun? No, if you have any issues, talk to that person. Or don't talk to anyone about it. Kung hindi sila concerned, kung hindi sila part ng problem, hindi sila part ng solution, if they're not even giving godly counsel, don't. Fourth, I will not let this incident stand between us or hinder our personal relationship. Is your relationship worth fighting for? Open your heart to these people na nagkasala sa akin. If you have been forgiven by Christ, it should show on how we're dealing with people. That's point number one. Point number two and number three, may dalawa pa po. And I promise you, hindi siya kasing haba. Kasi mas manejo. Number two, respond. Respond. Verse 21, confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than this. Paul is confident sa obedience ni Philemon na patatawarin niya si Onesimus. He's confident. Now, itong confidence o yung hope ni Paul dito ay hindi tipong nagbabaka sakali lamang siya. Sige, nagbabaka sakali ako, baka mapatay. Hindi po. His hope is well-founded because his hope is founded in Scripture. That those who have been forgiven, saved, transformed, and united in Christ will produce overflowing mercy and grace sa bawat isa mga tao nagkasala sa atin. And so, a reconciled relationship with God reconciles relationships with others. Paul is confident dito dahil nakita na niya how the gospel transformed lives. Paul saw how God transformed his life. Dating kaaway ng Diyos at ng Kristyanismo, ngayon minister ni Kristo. Onesimus, dating alipin ng kasalanan, ngayon slave for Christ. Si Philemon, concerned only about himself, now refreshes souls ng mga saints. If the power of the gospel can reconcile us enemies to a holy God, then we could have confidence that the gospel will reconcile and unite relationships natin. Maybe you are here today and you are praying and praying and praying for so long na magkaayos na. Maybe nandito ka sa Dubai dahil tinatakasan mo yung unreconciled relationship na yan. Friends, put your hope on Christ's finished work on the cross. Our hope is in Christ. We pray. Use yung broken relationships natin as evangelistic tools to bring the message of the gospel to that person na sinaktan tayo. That's the best way to deal. Pag meron tayong tao na galit tayo, here's my advice, pray for that person. The more we pray for these people na sinaktan tayo, the more the Lord changes our hearts towards them. You need Christ for such phenomenon, but you also need God's people, the church, to help you. Tingnan natin in verse 22. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Paul here is holding Philemon accountable sa kanyang pinapagawa. Even to a point, nabibisitahin kita. By the way, bigyan mo ako ng kwarto ha. Hindi naman dahil sa sinecheck kita, no? Pero pupunta lang ako dyan, namimiss ko kayo. Of course, hindi yan yung exactly na sinabi niya. He's hoping that he would be set free because these people are praying for him. But also, he's holding Philemon accountable. You need God's people to help you be accountable. Friends, do you need brothers and sisters to help you reconcile right now with relationships na meron ka? Maybe you have someone na hindi kasundo dito sa crossroads. And you're just trying to dead ma. Pero alam mo, habang tumatagal, bumibigat. Maybe you need to pull brothers and sisters, not to gossip them, but to pray and help you reconcile with this brother or sister. Ang point ko dito is huwag natin panatilihin po yung kanyang klaseng puso at relasyon. So Paul kept him accountable. Number three and last, remember. Remember. Verse 23 to 25, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is typical. This is a typical way that Paul ends his letters, by mentioning people's names. Mga gospel partners na nakasama niya mismo sa bilangguan. But being Paul the intentional, Paul placed these names hindi randomly but intentionally. Okay? So sinadya po niya ito. Okay? Being Paul na laging intentional sa kanyang letters, he included these names for what reason? To remind Philemon of men who were forgiven and reconciled to God, and men who were reconciled to one another, which is very interesting. Let me mention a few. Epaphras. Si Epaphras talaga ay pastor ng church ni Philemon. He's the pastor. Pinadala siya ng church ng Colossae para to care for and minister with Paul. And because of his faithful gospel ministry with Paul, he is now in prison. So choosing to serve Christ and obey God is costly. And is sometimes rewarding sa harapan ng tao. He is in prison. Now let's talk about Mark. Mark, or kilala siya sa pangalan na John Mark. John Mark was a helper of Paul and Barnabas sa kanilang first missionary journey. Ang problema kay John Mark, hindi nagpatuloy sa gawain. At ang matindi pa ho dito, iniwanan si Paul at saka si Barnabas. Inabandonan niya. Iniwan siya sa ere. We don't know fully the reason why, pero itinakasan niya yung dalawang na probably when the persecution ay tumataas, umalis po si Mark. He is called a deserter. Kaya sa mga susunod na pagkikita nila, ayaw na makasama ni Paul si Mark. At dahil dito, nagkaroon ng sharp alitan o disagreement si Barnabas at saka si Paul dahil kay Mark. Sabi ni Barnabas, isama natin. Ayoko isama yan. Nangiiwanan naman tayo. Kailangan natin tao na medyo kayang matatag. Hindi isama. And from there, nagkaroon sila ng sharp disagreement. And ito na po yung famous Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas separation. Ay, di sila makaso. Dahil mismo, kita mo rin ang problema if you have, if sin starts, hindi lang ikaw apektado eh. apektado rin mga tao sa paligid mo eh. At ito ang nangyari po dito. Ayaw na makasama ni Paul. Pero, years after that, the Lord transformed Mark's heart and transformed his life. He became useful sa ministry ng gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul saw that God is using him. And thus, Paul and Mark were reconciled. Paul now calls him in this letter, fellow worker. And towards the end of his life, ni Paul, here's how he addresses John Mark sa 2 Timothy 4:11. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for my ministry. Do you see yung hope ng reconciliation and forgiveness dito? Paul is giving Philemon examples. Paul and Mark is a picture of forgiveness and reconciliation. Demas, according sa 2 Timothy 4:10, deserted Paul for what reason? Dahil sa pagmamahal niya sa kamunduhan. Pero ngayon, kasama na niya rito. Do you see forgiveness and reconciliation? Hindi nabanggit ang pangalan ni Philemon sa New Testament after po neto. Pero sa letter ni Ignatius, okay, na elder on the Church of Antioch after 20 years, lumabas sa letter niya ang pangalan ni Onesimus. He wrote letters sa mga churches during that time because of great difficulty, and he sent a letter to Ephesus noong 85 AD. At ano, marami yung nakasulat sa letter, pero ito po yung buod ng kanyang sinabi, na si Onesimus, the runaway slave, has become, by God's grace, isang pastor, isang shepherd, and an elder in the church of Ephesus. Talk about hope. Talk about reconciliation. Talk about pagbabago. Ito'y isang reminder of God's saving and transforming grace. Pati ang pinaka masama, pinaka messed up na tao sa buong mundo can be a recipient of God's forgiveness and saving grace. Ang kasama na nagawa, ang kasamaan na nagawa mo at ang kasamaan na nagawa sa iyo ay pwedeng gamitin ng Panginoon to bring you back to Him. Going back to our story, Tom, kapatid na pulis na namatay, na pinatay ang kanyang kapatid, Tom is a Christian. So nung nalaman na nahuli na po yung pumatay sa kanyang kapatid, the church started praying for him. And part ng kanyang prayer is that the Lord would give him an opportunity to share the gospel sa pumatay sa kanyang kapatid. At ganun na po ang nangyari. Kasama ang kanyang kaibigan na pulis, papasok pa lang ng selda, nanginginig na ang kanyang buong katawan, nakita itong isang mama na nakakulong, and from there, he shared the gospel of hope. Umiyak, humagulgol yung nakapatay ng kanyang kapatid. According sa mga nakasulat and sa stories, he repented and placed his faith in Christ, finished work on the cross. He became a Christian. Tinanggap niya si Kristo. Nung paalis na siya sa selda, tinawag siya ng pumatay sa kanyang kapatid at sinabing, "Teka po, sino ka ba? Ano ba pangalan mo?" Now, let me back up a few minutes. Nung sineshare ng gospel ni Tom, itong mamang ito, akala niya, tingin niya kasi kay Tom pare. So, ang ginawa niya, pwede ba akong mag-confess ng kasalanan ko sa iyo? So, nung sabi ni Tom, sige, alam mo ko anong kinonfess niya? He gave the narrative kung paano niya pinatay yung kanyang kapatid. According kay Tom, he almost threw up. Sumuka. From there, he shared the gospel. This man wept, repented from his sins, and trusted Christ. Tinanong niya, anong pangalan mo? Hindi makasagot si Tom sa bigat ng kanyang panginginig. Pero nagsalita yung kaibigan niyang pulis. Ang pangalan niya ay si Tom Rojas. Si Tom Rojas ay ang kapatid ng pinatay mo. And he kneeled at his feet, wept hard, asking for his forgiveness. Ang ginawa nito, binuhat niya, well, tinayo niya, and then umiyak din siya. And sinabi nga niya na pinapatawad kita. Naalala ko part of the story ng kanyang humor, nung nasa paa daw niya, hingi ng hingi ng tawad, ang unang pumasok sa isip niya, sipain niya kagad yung mukha. That's true, it's a true story. You can look it up in YouTube. Ang unang pumasok sa isip niya, sipain yung mukha niya. Pero hindi. Nung humingi ng tawad, niyakap siya ng mamamatay tao na ito, na ngayon ay kapatid na kay Kristo. At ang ginawa nito, niyakap din niya. At nag-iyakan sila. At ang ginawa ng pulis, niyakap din sila. Nag-iyakan silang tatlo. According kay Tom, yung iyakan nila is so loud, yung mga ibang presinto, nagtataka kung ano nangyari, baka pinurusahan na raw yung inmate. But they were crying. And according kay Tom, na ang sinabi niya, what verse that came to him is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, yung binasa natin kanina. Forgive, because he is now a brother. Friends, sino mga kailangan natin patawarin? Ang panalangin ba natin na sana baguhin siya ng Panginoon? Baka dapat ang ating panalangin, baguhin mo, Panginoon, ang puso ko. Because if you claim to be a Christian, you're saying, I have a reconciled relationship with God. And if that is true, then you must pursue reconciling relationships with others. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for not treating us as our sins deserved. We deserve death. We deserve eternal punishment. Thank you for Jesus who died for us, reconciling us to the Father and to one another. Lord, ang panalangin po namin kung may mga tao na nanghinakit sa aming mga buhay. I pray for your comfort. I pray that you would use people sa Crosslots to walk alongside of them. That they would open their ears to godly counsel. I pray also, Lord, na mangibabaw yung pagmamahal mo sa bawat isa sa amin. Na mag-uumapaw itong pag-ibig na ito sa mga taong nakasakit sa amin. Lord, we pray for those who you want to use to reconcile people, to be an agent of reconciliation. We pray that you would give this person boldness, give this person wisdom from your word to do this well. As a church, we pray that we would be marked by people who have been reconciled to Christ and reconciled to one another. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.